The Guardian.
Hello, hip cats and droopy dogs, and welcome to Music Weekly from Guardian.co.uk. I'm Paul McInnes, and on this week's show... Like a rich child's bank account, we are full of young bucks, and we'll be talking to one such, White Williams, about his genre-blending sounds and what students get up to in Ohio a little later. We'll be reviewing new music from up-and-comers Tegan and Sarah, as well as some blokes called Beck and Tricky in Singles Club. We'll do that feedback thing and let you in on our Glasgow plans, but first, we're flying the flag with Johnny Foreigner. Right, that was Eyes Wide Terrified by Johnny Foreigner. Someone, however, who is neither a foreigner nor indeed a Johnny, it's Rosie Swash. He joins me here in the studio. Hi, Rosie, what gives?
Everything.
Everything gives. Everything hurts. Everything counts in large amounts. Anyway, let's talk Johnny Foreigner, Rosie. They're a band already popular with our listeners, so they tell us anyway. They've been getting in touch via Facebook, on the email and stuff, suggesting that we should have them on the show, and here they are. What would you say are their unique qualities?
They're anti-lad rock, indie pop music. As in, they're from Birmingham and they're not the twang.
Anti-twang.
The anti-twang. They're sort of influenced by Sonic Youth, Bloc Party, that kind of thing. Quite esoteric lyrics. Their album's got a coming-of-age feel to it.
One for the kids out there.
One for the kids out there.
So you met them.
I did,
you
indeed.
You hooked up with Johnny Foreigner.
I did, indeed. One of the things he talked about was how they managed to remain credible while starting their careers on the Road to V unsigned band competition.
Oh, but so many bands must have to do those unsigned band competitions nowadays.
So many crap. So they talked a bit about that. They talked about hating Birmingham, but also what they liked about it, mainly sleeping in their own beds, touring, loving New Jersey. But the first thing we discussed was their super secret show that they played the night before.
It was probably the most surreal show we've ever done.
Why?
It was a freshers' ball, and so there's just loads of
students dressed up in suits and like dresses, like and drapes, and there was like massive like. Mirror balls everywhere.
It was like a prom.
It was a prom. It was like, have you ever watched, was it Super Sweet 16? It was like the kind of parties they have on there.
Were there any diehard Johnny Foreigner fans in the crowd?
There was one guy we were loading out at the end and he kind of sidled up and he was like, hi, I was the only actual fan here. We were like, oh my God.
Awesome. Well, it was nice.
Yeah.
So you recorded your album in...
New York. Oh, well, it's New Jersey, technically.
New Jersey.
And what made you record the album there?
recommendation from Anthony, our label manager.
He's
friends with a guy called Machine.
Machine produced your...
Yeah, he did it.
Tell us a bit about Machine.
His parents are classical musicians and he's like a cool glasses, spiky hair, hip.
Very cool.
What did he bring to the album or what did he bring out of the album?
He'd be there with a microphone dancing, like spurring us on. Yeah, come on, Junior.
And he wanted all the energy and he'd like raise his hands and... put his hand down.
He is just immense.
Scream and...
I think it worked wonders for us, though. It really did.
For, like, the first few takes, we're like, why is this man jumping up and down in front of us? But then he just, like... It's the same kind of buzz as when you play a show and you see people react and to see, like, him, like, right in front of you dancing up and down, you can't help but, like, kind of get more enthusiastic by it.
And other than Machine, what is it about America or New Jersey that you... particularly miss?
Cheaper.
Not to like
friendlier.
First time you've all been.
Yeah.
You had to get a bus, didn't we, every morning for 5 minutes through the Lincoln Tunnel?
Lincoln Tunnel,
Die Hard.
Die Hard Tunnel.
So is the next album or EP going to be influenced a lot by that period?
Probably, yeah. It's all going to... Well, I don't know. It's probably mostly going to be about touring. us living in a van and stripping for airport checkouts and all that kind of fun.
You have said before that we don't really want to sound like a British indie band. Now, I think I know what you mean.
I think that question was pertaining to the album, and they were saying, like, you're a British indie band, why have you gone and got, like, an American, like, I don't know, what is it, like, a hip-hop rock producer to do it? And I don't think, like, that British indie sound isn't really us. Like, that's kind of like jangly guitars and the vocals really high in the mix. And we just pretty much just wanted to make like a loud pop guitar record. Yeah, yeah. So it was more of a natural choice to go with someone like Machine than, I don't know, like, say, like Stephen Street or some like archetype or English like pop producer.
The actual album doesn't sound like British indie in the sense that you're talking about, but the themes feel very English.
So you only write about what you know about them.
Yeah.
I suppose next album will be different because we've escaped Birmingham a lot more.
You don't seem like you have a lot of love for Birmingham.
The more time we spend away from Birmingham, the more we like it. And it is a depressing grey hole. It's just half-finished shopping centre of a city. It's not like an inspiring place to live.
Yeah.
The festival season is about to start, which leads me to ask you about the V Festival. I was very surprised that you did this sort of unsigned... Was it unsigned?
It's like the Road to V.
Our manager entered us into it.
Our ex-manager.
I think he just did it in the, like, this might help promote the band, nothing happened. But, yeah, obviously, like we didn't really expect to get anything from it because we know, like, we were, like, the token wildcard band. People in the music industry that we've met and whose opinions we respect and we look up to have said if you'd have won that competition, it would have done you more damage than not.
That's Johnny Foreigner, and their debut album, Waited Up Till It Was Light, is out now, and they'll be playing Latitude, Truck and the Love Box, amongst other festivals.
Thank you so much, Rosie Swash, my friend in the studio. It's a robot impression. Now, we've got the youth-friendly music safely out of the way. We can put that to one side. We can lock it up. And that means we are now safe to introduce Michael Han, editor of film and music and resident clipper of Ute Around the Ear, who's going to be joining us for Singles Club this week.
I'd like to put it on the record, Paul, that I've never got in a fight with local youth in a five-a-side football pitch across the road from the Guardian offices.
And then had to return to work with your face bleeding.
That's not happened to me.
That's not happened to
me. But I think there is someone in this room that has happened to.
Rosie.
And it's not Rosie either.
It happened to Rosie. Rosie just takes them all on.
She's got principles.
Yeah, OK, good point. Well done. You got me there, didn't you?
So are we reviewing the George Formby single I brought in?
No, we're not. I'm not saying you're that old. It's just, you know,
when
sometimes...
When I'm pleading, Windows is good.
It is very good. It sticks. It's like an earworm.
A girl, she wakes at 8 o'clock. She takes a bath at 5 past 8, my ladder breaks.
See, you were kind of going on as if this was some kind of ironic, you know...
No, it's not ironic.
You do know all the lyrics to When I'm Cleaning Windows by George Formby.
Shall I go?
No, I think you should stay. I think you should stay because... because I think you've already proven that you know more about music than the rest of us put together. All right, well, let's get to listening to some of that said music, however. We'll start this week with the return of Beck, and this is Chemtrails. That was Chemtrails by Beck. Perhaps one of the few examples of an artist adopting a more sensible stage name than that which he was given, Beck added a C to his full name of Beck David Campbell. And dropped the David Campbell bit too, obviously. Like his father, Beck is a Scientologist, but he's a bit more articulate than Tom Cruise on the matter, describing it as just a real deep grassroots concerted effort for humanitarian causes. He also described criticism of the religion as bullshit, which is more like it. Chemtrails is the lead single from Beck's 8th album, Modern Guilt. Guess what? It was produced by Danger Mouse, and it's got 2 tracks with Cat Power on it. Rosie.
Yes.
The return of Beck. You welcome?
Always. Particularly because I thought the information, his album in 2006, was excellent, very underrated.
Yeah, very underrated. What is it? He's always underrated, isn't he, Beck?
I don't know what it was, because there was at least 2 tunes on there that could have been totally standout. Why are you looking at me like that?
I'm silently trying to communicate that I don't think he's always underrated.
What I mean
love.
He gets critical love, but
the public don't care.
Yeah,
manic.
Well, I think that album, you know, it's like when people who say if you weren't a fan of his work, you would go back to Odelay and that sort of time. And there was definitely some songs on The Information that I'm still listening to sort of every day on my iPod now. It was really brilliant. So I was really looking forward to this, and I am quite disappointed. It reminds me, vocally, he reminds me of Caribou. It's got that kind of luminous sort of melodic quality to it, but this song is okay. It has that huge build, and then it doesn't really do very much after that, and I just find it a little bit sort of maybe a bit impenetrable. And as for the rest of Modern Guilt, his retro qualities, the sort of 60s beat retro qualities, are there, and then on other tracks it just sounds like a Danger Mouse sort of soul Motown thing. It doesn't feel particularly special.
Michael.
Well, I think this is interesting because Rosie, despite not being a bespectacled 29 stone ginger, you're a mirror image of me on this. Because I don't really care about Beck, and I approached this single with a bit of a... And I loved it. I thought it was terrific. It has a real kind of early 70s feel. You can imagine yourself at the Isle of Wight in 1970... smoking your LSD cigarette while you barbecue your yurt as you prepare to don your kaftans and loon pants. But it's just this marvellous kind of symphonic feel washing over you. People have said that the influence of Brian Wilson over indie is disappearing now, but this brings that Brian Wilson early 70s sound right back, which is one of my favourite sounds in pop music. I think it's glorious, absolutely glorious. Had me beaming.
Can anyone make out the lyrics at all?
No.
I was wondering whether...
Maybe that's what I'm finding impenetrable.
Because you are a lyrics person, aren't you?
Yeah.
I mean, it's always been one of these things about Beck is that his lyrics can often seem like gobbledygook, but...
But he raps them, or he says them in a way that at least you can hear.
At least he enunciates the words, but this appears, it's almost like got a filter over it to make obscure them.
I like that, because that almost wordlessness of it. It feels kind of like a rapturous feeling. It's almost religious. There's a real churchy with these huge washes of organ.
That is Chemtrails by Beck, and it is out on June the 23rd. Second track on Singles Club is Back in Your Head by Tegan and Sarah. That's Tegan and Sarah with Back in Your Head. Tegan Rain Quinn and Sarah Kirsten Quinn, a.k.a. Tegan and Sarah, are identical twins, and they hail from Calgary in Canada. They have to hail, as there are no telephones there. They're 27 years old, but have been recording since they were 15. Neil Young signed them to his Vapors label back then, but now they're recording for Warners, and their latest album, Contrick, has been produced by Death Cab for Cutie's Chris Waller. The twins are both lesbians, and they also claim that London is the only place you can get a round of applause for being rude. Just a bit of assorted ephemera there on the end. I'm not judging anybody, I just put it out there. Michael, Back in Your Head, stick in your head?
It did, actually, and I was quite surprised, because I was expecting to think, And but it's got this glorious hook that's essential. It's a really good hook that you can't help being carried away with. It feels like, if I could use a Laura Barton-esque turn of phrase, it feels like the fresh, cool dew on the lawn of a summer morning. It really does. It feels so fresh. I mean, there's nothing terribly original about it. It's a mid-paced, sub-indie pop song. But it just works really well. It feels really well put together. I like it more than any of their other stuff that I've heard. I could see this becoming a hit.
Yeah, I think I could too. I really like... And I think it's done quite cleverly, the disjuncture between that, the kind of sharpness of their vocals and the real saccharine, not saccharine, the sugary nature of the piano line. I think that's lovely. Rosie, what do you think?
I agree totally. I really like this. I have never really particularly liked or disliked Tegan. So for me, it's a sort of archetypal coffee shop alt indie that you would find in somewhere like Canada. But this, I agree, it's the hook's great. And for me, I found the lyrics, you know, it's just about them being in a relationship and it's not going right and both people are messing the other one around. their lyrics are never particularly sophisticated, I find. But in this sense, it doesn't need to be because they're really simply written and you get it straight away. And it's, you know, it's juxtaposition against the actual sound of the song, which we know often works in pop music.
The sad thing is I could never go out and buy it, though, because, I mean, what would a record shop assistant think as a 38-year-old man walks in and says, I'd like the single by the Lesbian Twin Sisters, please? Dear God.
Does it come with a video file? One quick thing I want to add. On all their other stuff, I don't think they've made such a grand attempt to make the two of them sound like they are one voice.
Yeah.
It's almost like listening to those weirdo girls from the League of Gentlemen at some point, and it's slightly spooky. But I do like that about the song too. Interesting. No. Back in Your Head by Tegan and Sarah is out on June the 23rd too. Final track on Singles Club is Council Estate by Tricky. That was Tricky with Council Estate. Council Estate is the first single from Tricky's comeback album, Noel West Boy. You might be able to detect from the titles there that the album looks back at Tricky's life as a child and not his recent years living it up in LA. One of the central figures in the pre-millennial Bristol scene, Tricky also broke into acting, claiming a role in Luc Besson's The Fifth Element. During filming, he annoyed his co-star Gary Oldman. The actor once interrupted a scene to scream of Tricky, "He's fucking eating a Twix!" Tricky has a record label called Brown Punk. Rosie.
Yes.
Tricky.
Yes.
Another septuagenarian Bristolian, like Prawley said, coming back with a new album. Any similarities between the two for you? Because I think there are.
Well, yes. However, did either of you notice that in the very opening bars of this, he samples Rhodes?
Yes.
Which, and I was like, that's really weird. And then it comes in with this totally in your face. The drums are everywhere in a way I don't particularly like. The message is screamed, which is not Portishead at all. So I don't know. I don't know what the statement is there, is it?
Well, I thought it was just a reference to this is what you think the Bristol sound is,
right,
or this is the Bristol sound of now.
Council Estate.
Yeah, exactly. Does anybody use the phrase Council Estate anymore? I mean, I don't know.
I prefer assisted housing.
Michael.
Yes.
Oh, my God, if we reduced him to monosyllables, it would be a first. Michael, what do you think of this?
This is the third record of the week that I approached thinking I really don't care about this person, and it was the third record of the week that I came away from thinking, hey, that's really good. It sounds like 15 different records all being played at once. It sounds like there's something really, really naff about it. I don't know why. I can't put my finger on it. It kind of sounds like a bad garage band trying to do Sound of the Underground by Girls Aloud. You're getting it horribly wrong, but somehow coming up with something that's just really exciting and really vivid. Again, they don't sound that great. They sound a bit...
I think that's what's naff about.
You're being really unsubtle here. But the whole package really, really works. You wouldn't think it was someone of Tricky's advanced age. 92, I think you said he was?
I put him in the 70s bracket, but I'll be happily corrected.
He could pass for 58 comfortably with this.
He does. He actually looks slightly emaciated in the press photos. I hope the man's been eating. The thing I was thinking about, the Portishead and Tricky comparisons, particularly with the lead singles, there's other stuff on Tricky's MySpace. I think it's Trickyola that you can listen to, and some of it's very grime influenced. It sounds very modern. But this and Machine Gun, they're both very hard. Mm. For something that kind of, you remember both of that's for the more melodic numbers in places, particularly the on Max and Kay, the stuff he did with Martina Topley Bird. But this is really deliberately aggressive. Do you think an act coming back needs to make that a kind of more a statement to avoid being ignored?
Well, apparently, because both Michael and I approached this with a little bit sort of, and I have said that I had the same feeling about Portishead, and then there's sort of this reminder that don't think that you know what to expect from us just because of what we did 10 years ago. I think what Michael was saying about it being naff, in my opinion, is quite possibly the message, but, you know, you're a big fish in a little pond, you're a superstar, that kind of thing. I don't really know who he's talking about, whether he is talking about himself or not, but it is quite representative of his sort of constant reminder that he used to reference a lot of Garage in his earlier work, that he is the street side of trip hop.
That's Council Estate by Tricky, and it's out on June the 30th rather than June the 23rd. Now it's over to you. Do you agree with us? Do you disagree? Do you violently disagree? Are you on the verge of taking up arms in order to disabuse us of our opinions? If so, get it all off your chest on the blog at blogs.guardian.co.uk/music. Go there. Tell us what you think of Tricky, Becky and Tegan and Sarahy and these other tracks that are out to buy on June the 23rd. MGMT, Electric Feel. They're called Teenagers. No, you didn't. No, you don't. Black Kids, Hurricane Jane. Neyo, Closer. Montage, 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 montage. Okay, that is Singles Club for this week. Thank you so much, Michael Han.
It's been a pleasure, as ever.
No, it has been a real pleasure.
I love this show.
I love you.
I love you too.
I love you.
I love you as well, Rosie. I love you rather more than I love Paul.
I love Tegan and Sarah more than either of you.
You dirty old
man. No, listen quickly before you go, because we are going to get you out of here. I promise, even if it takes security to monster you. You've been masterminding one of these Guardian highbrow daily
booklets.
That's the
because you know, like we did those great poets of the 20th century that, let's be honest, we three didn't read. And great speech of the 20th century, which, let's be honest, we three didn't read. And great
I did read the Churchill one, I'll have you know.
And great interviews of the 20th century, which we probably read some of. But now, coming up, starting on Saturday, that's Saturday, free with The Guardian, we've got great lyricists. So we've got Patti Smith, we've got Bruce Springsteen, we've got Joni Mitchell, we've got Morrissey, we've got Alex Turner, we've got Bob Dylan, we've got Leonard Cohen, and we've got one who I can't remember off the top of
Abba.
My head. Not Abba, but obviously. It's a special surprise lyrics book that we got for the 8th with terrific introductions. We've got Elizabeth Wurzel writing about Springsteen. We've got Simon Sharma writing about Leonard Cohen. Simon Armitage on Alex Turner. Tim Lott on Morrissey. Really good stuff, and it's free.
It's free.
Free.
It's
with The Guardian this Saturday.
Which only
free.
Costs £1.50.
Free.
Okay, why no Lennon and McCartney?
Lennon and McCartney, this is an interesting point. I had this argument with the people who wanted Lennon and McCartney in. I said, well, no, because they made records rather than wrote words. The whole thing that they did was, you know, what sounds best coming over a tranny for 3 minutes in 1964? They weren't thinking carefully about each individual word. And there's a lot of people like that, actually, who'd think, I remembered who the 8th, it was Chuck D.
Yo, black that person came, makes list.
That link, that I leapt instantly from Paul McCartney to Chuck D, because I see them as soul brothers. But this point was made, but you know, people who wanted me to say, oh, you've got to put Bob Marley in that. I said, no, you've got to sit down and read Bob Marley lyrics. They actually really don't work on page. They might sound great on records if you like Bob Marley, but they don't work on page. Someone else was saying, oh, you should have New Order in there. What? Barney, with I have often thought about staying in or going out. Are you really sure you want to devote a booklet to that as great lyrics? But I think what we've got is a good mix of old and new, something for the young folk and the old folk.
And remember, Michael's email address is michael.han@guardian.co.uk.
And that's free with The Guardian this Saturday. Free.
Well, thanks again, Michael. It has been great having you.
It's a pleasure. And it's the best music podcast The Guardian does, this by a mile. Anyway, I've got to go off to Islamophonic now.
I'll see you soon. Thanks again. Next on Music Weekly, we meet White Williams. Occasions, guests in the basement, older than our daughter, new friends, growing muscle for the violator. That's Violator by White Williams, our second guest today. Now, we're a bit gutted about this because we had planned on having White Denim in too and making it some kind of white special. Maybe phone up Jack White, Paint Me Studio Eggshell White, Eat Egg Whites. Rosie, help me out with some more white stuff here.
Wear white socks.
Wear white socks. Talk about whatever happened to white dog poo. All those sorts of things. But White Denim couldn't make it. We're going to do them round glass, though, and they will be coming up soon because we like them very much. So instead, it's just Joe, a.k.a. White Williams, who's kind of like a young apprentice Beck. He kind of pulls together lots of different genres and makes it all a little bit funky. And he does divide opinion, but we like him. So we got him in the studio last week before some live shows. And we started off talking about, you know, what are the differences between the UK and America like? Because, you know, you're from America, you come over here, you come and see London. What's it like, yeah?
I think London doesn't feel too much different than America, really. I think they're kind of influence each other a lot. People focus on such small differences, like slang, and it's actually pretty fun to be over here and listen to people we've been meeting, just the things that people say. And
what's your favorite phrase?
Could do.
Could do.
Like maybe we'll go to the park later. They say could do.
What's unusual about that?
I don't know if that's Scottish or English.
But this is your, let's move on to the music. This is your debut album, but you've been performing and touring with bands since you were 15, is that right?
I was in a band that toured in high school, and then I kind of just stopped being in bands for a while.
What was it that made you decide to start becoming more dedicated to your music again after that break?
I guess just when the record came out, then people actually outside of my group of friends started hearing it, and I was inquired about a tour, and then I went on tour, and then Domino contacted me about taking the record that I'd made and releasing outside of America, and then from that more things spawned.
Was it something you'd always hoped when you were at that stage of making music and sharing it amongst your friends that you would?
No, I didn't really know. I mean, the whole thing was kind of a mystery to me. I just feel like it's the easiest thing, besides listening to music, it's the easiest thing for me to do.
Really? That's interesting. Can you lose yourself in making music in a way that you wouldn't if, say, you were reading a book? Or
yeah, reading a book requires more concentration. Making music's more, it's kind of more like dancing, where it's like the body's involved, you're reacting to some sort of movement.
So you say you're reacting to things?
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, if you play piano or something, you play the same three notes over and over again, you kind of stop thinking so much about whether you're playing the piano or not, or where you have to be in a few hours. I mean, there's definitely like a reaction process too, where you do something, something changes and it excites you. It makes you want to record it, or it reminds you of some other idea. I don't feel gifted or anything. I just feel like I have a lot of problems with doing other things.
Do you think, do you worry at all that as this becomes, as well as a hobby or pursuit, it becomes a job? Do you worry that that interaction between you and your music will change?
A little bit, yeah. It's kind of difficult to keep up with everything besides making music. Planning tours this can be really just stressful. It requires a lot more of focus than making a song would.
So is that something you have to be involved in, the actual...
Yeah, yeah, well, definitely. Where you want to go, who you want to play with, how you want to sequence a tour, press.
And how do you find making the leap from being somebody who composes music by themselves, quite often on a computer, to being a performer?
It's strange. I think I'm still getting used to it.
Mm-hmm.
In some ways, because the music was made alone, I think I'm still understanding what that means in terms of interacting with other people, collaborating, things like that. I understand that it feels awkward, so that's a little bit, I guess that's the first step.
And let's move on to actually talk about the music. And you're talking about there a collaboration in live performance with other musicians. But in terms of your recorded music, there's a sense in which that's a collaboration too, almost, in that there's so many traces of music of different genres in there, new wave, surf rock, electro. But first of all, which genres amongst those are closest to your heart? What are the ones you grew up listening to?
Well, as a kid, I mostly listened to like punk and hardcore music. I saw bands like Ruins from Japan, or Melt Banana, or music that's kind of like punk and hardcore, but there's elements of electronic music. So I would listen to a lot of like Warp Records stuff, K7, things like that. And then from that, then I got into more pop music, because when I was listening to electronic music a lot, there was on the radio, there'd be music like the Neptunes and Timbaland and stuff like that, where it was like complete pop music, but their production kind of quality. People are exposed to so many different types of music, and it's less about genre, I think, now more than ever.
How important is the aesthetic outside of your music to you? How important is the sleeve art? Because you've come from you've got a degree in digital design.
Yeah, yeah.
Could you give us an example of artwork that you like? That
I really like, honestly, I really like the kind of like new French house music labels that are doing with art, like Ed Banger and Institutes, I think.
Would you ever like to go back to design, or would you like to keep making music for the foreseeable?
I think I'll always do music in some capacity. Just it's pretty fun and easy, and it's really cheap to do. I don't really need a record label to make a record. But design is something I feel like I still need to learn more about. Even though I came from 5 years of education from it, it's still such a... It seems like a kind of world that you get experience from actually working.
One final trite question.
Mm-hmm.
Where did the white come from?
It reminds me of like a rap name. I think I considered naming myself Lil Williams after Lil Kim and Lil Wayne, Lil Mo, and all the other Lils. But there's also a singer named Joe Williams. He's a blues or jazz musician. And I also didn't really equate what I was doing with me personally, so I didn't really want to use my name. And mm-hmm. I wanted a name that wasn't indicative of a person or a group of people. Maybe I didn't succeed at that, but in some way I wanted it to be a little bit more ambiguous, where when you listen to the record, you can't tell if it's one person or several people making the music. So that's basically where the name came from. And I like the alliteration of it.
Well, that's Joe White Williams, and I can assure you that if he were to be a rapper, he would be the skinniest rapper alive. His album Smoke is out now, and he'll be back in the UK later on this summer. Right, over to Bloggy Dog. Bloggy Doggy Dog Dog. Because, well, usually at this point I read through people's correspondence and stuff, but I think I'm going to have to plead the fifth to a certain extent, because this week's comments, they're kind of mainly about me and my bloody pronunciation of band names. You know, people think that I'm doing it on purpose, but it's not. It's just because I don't have a bone of professionalism in my body. But I'm going to pass over to Rosie Swash, who is great at pronunciation, aren't you, Rosie? You got an A at GCSE. And she's going to read the quotes from this week's blog. Go, Rosie, go.
You mean the blog?
Yes, the blog. The blog.
Great Dog wasn't that impressed with what we consider to be a rather cheerful interview with Adrian Utley and Jeff Barrows. I think the interviewed members of Portishead would make a reasonable addition to the Grumpy Old Men series. I can see how rubbish it must be to play your music to thousands of people and travel the world while doing so. Actually, no, I can't.
Pause blog reading feature there. I mean, my understanding of that interview last week, and I did listen to it. I try to sometimes. Is they're actually pretty upbeat about
their
life stuff.
I think it's difficult, isn't it? They're older, they've got kids. Going on tour is a bit stressful, and that's all they were saying. I mean, it's been said before.
Back to the blog.
Others remained more upbeat, such as Eric Ember, who wrote, Portishead has a new album. This is great. It has been over 10 years. I am so excited. I like rock and roll and industrial. My wife likes hip-hop.
How do you think that works?
It's you and your wife, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Well, it is. It says, my wife does not like industrial. Put folk in there and, yeah. I know. I feel your pain, Eric Ember.
It's one of the few bands we can agree on. Needless to say, they get a lot of airtime in the car when we travel together. Hopefully the new album has the same dark yet groovy feel to it. I also hope they tour in the States. Before long, the topic turned to Paul's controversial pronunciation of band names. I love Martin Joel. Paul, you pronounced Regina like vagina. So immature. I'll try that again. I'm sorry. Paul, you pronounce Regina like vagina. Everyone knows it's Regina, like semolina. You get me? To which Changi responded, I don't actually know how to...
It's just a series of blog posts, Rosie. It's
No.
It's not like reading the edited works of Woody Allen.
Elegia. Elu-J-A-I-C.
Well, it's like elegy. It's elegiac.
Yeah. So, tell me again.
It's, and elegiac, too.
Elegiac. That's how... Okay. To which Chung responded, and elegiac, too, is pronounced elu-J-A-I-C, not elegiac. Gake.
Well, there we go. We've just been correcting on the one pronunciation we sought to establish before reading it out. This is proving to be a bloody triumph. You should have kept me on reading the blog bits. Whose idea was that to let you read them?
And also, let's just call her Vagina Spectre.
Vagina Inspector, it is. Post comments on this week's blog. Tell us what you made of White Williams and Johnny Foreigner. The address is blogs.guardian.co.uk/music. And heck, you can talk about pronunciation even of Martin Joel's name, if you like. On next week's programme, we are going to be in Pilton, Somerset. Pilton, Somerset, home of the world's greatest rock festival.
Floods and deluges.
And biblical plagues. Yes, we're going to be Glastonbury 2008, and we've got some very special plans. This year, we're going to give you one a day, 10 to 15 minutes during the weekend. We're going to do one on Friday, one on Saturday, one on Sunday. And then on Monday, we're going to hit you with a boom, bang, a bang, everything you need to know about Glastonbury, but we're afraid to ask, afraid to subscribe to on iTunes. You're going to get all of that stuff. Plus, we've actually managed to get some music in. It's going to be great. We're really looking forward to it, even if it does mean we get Trenchfoot again. Anyway, that's coming up next weekend, so look forward to that. Please, we know we will be. So that means we're back next Friday. Register now to get the podcast sent straight to your computer or MP3 player for free. You can find out how at guardian.co.uk/music. Thanks for kicking us back into the iTunes charts again last week. Much appreciated. That's all for this week. Thanks again to Michael Hand. Thanks to Rosie Swash.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And thank you for not getting me that orange at lunch. I thought I'd made that public. We'll be back next week. See ya.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.